570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
We continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney P. on AM570 LA Sports. Later on this hour, we'll open the phone lines. We'll hear from you. And the question today will be your thoughts on Clayton Kershaw. Andrew Friedman, and we'll bring Dave on here in a second. Andrew Friedman said, yeah, we'd like to hold on to him one way or another. But it's basically in his court. He's got to decide what he wants to do. So we'll hear from you.
And you know, Fred, I think, you know, we've learned since he's been here and talking about Andrew Friedman, that when he says that, he means it. That he is, you know, very upfront with not only us as he talks about the players and who he wants to try to resign, but I think he's upfront about having the conversations with the players and what they want to do and trying to let them know, hey, if you want to go test the market, go test the market. We want you here, but business is business. And I think it's refreshing because, you know, from the time I played and even now, I think there's sometimes organizations and GMs and people are not always upfront with you and don't always shoot you straight or always communicate with you. How many times have we heard about somebody, you know, finding out they were traded or they're not going to get signed back through social media or through a third party as opposed to the club or the organization having a conversation with them. So I respect him in so many ways for him being upfront like that with his players and being honest with them.
All right, well, let's bring on David Vassay now, brought to you by Navi and Tankless Water Heaters. Dave, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Rodney, hope you're having a great day.
Oh, good.
Oh, thank you, Dave. How are you, buddy?
Oh, just doing great. What a scintillating segment of trivia before I came on. I heard every Fred. I mean, that is a winner.
Don't be dogging out Nate.
Fred's got a new machine. Fred's got a new machine, Dave, you know, and it's not, you know, this one is from 1958 as opposed to 1938, so it's a little bit more updated for Fred, so he's having trouble working the machine from 58.
Yeah, but I'll get there. I will figure it out, Dave. I want to start with this. So the GM meetings are underway. What's the difference between the GM meetings and the winter meetings?
Yeah, not much of a difference. I guess the biggest thing is, Fred, that at the winter meetings, it's a month more down the road of the off season, and the groundwork is usually laid during the season around the trade deadline, and then it picks up again, and they continue the conversations this week during the GM meetings, and more action takes place as far as closing deals, closing trades, closing signings in December than it does during this week in Carlsbad.
Hey Dave, what are your thoughts as we approach that December 1st date that a deal got to get done? What's the thoughts from you and around the league of is something going to get done, or are we going to face a situation where there's going to be some uncertainty going forward?
Yeah, well, number one, Rodney, everybody I spoke to on the player side, and I've actually spoken to a couple of owners in baseball before the season ended, and they're all very optimistic they'll get a deal done and not miss any regular season games, but it's not going to come before December 1st, and many of them don't believe it's going to come before the new year. So I would assume this will go through December and probably the majority of January, and they unless something drastically changes, because the players feel like they have lost the previous two collective bargaining agreements, and nobody would disagree with that. They have completely lost those CBAs and have lost quite a bit and have not gained much. So they're trying to gain that back and hold a strong line. And Scott Boras has six players on the union committee that have a loud voice. So that's interesting as well, because that means Scott Boras has a lot of representation at the table on which direction the players' union will go and what they will agree to and what they won't agree to.
Hey, Dave, how do you, you're in it and we're in it, but you're in it more than us and you understand it better than I do. How do you say it to fans? Because sometimes you talk about, well, the players lost in this deal and they lost, and people look at, well, these guys are making millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. What do you mean they lost? They just go play baseball. And you got to look at it like it's all relative, right? It's all relative, whether you're a small business or you're a big multi-billion dollar industry like baseball, it's all relative, and you got to fight for your right.
Rodney, I've always thought that fans that complain about players' salaries are very narrow-minded about what's going on in the bigger picture. You have to think that it's a percentage of what the industry is grossing. So when you look at a player making $30 million a year or $40 million a year, what do you think the percentage is? Because the owners are the ones that are making the revenue, and if they did not have the revenue, the salaries would not be the percentage of what they are. So when you see players' salaries grow, you have to realize that the revenue of the sport has grown exponentially. It's no longer like in 94 when there was the lockout, $1 million business. No, now it's a multi-billion dollar business, and it's just a small percentage of what the players make, because owners have to run a business, and that's a percentage of the bigger pie. And what the players want to achieve in this collective bargaining agreement, Rodney, is not about making more money. No, it's about, number one, getting players that are in their prime to free agency, instead of what fans don't like is paying players for what they did in the past.
Yeah.
So cut down on the years of service time, either shorten it by a year, or the players are thinking about a certain age. By age 29, you're a free agent, whichever comes first. So now you're paying a player for what he's doing right now, what instead of what goes on a lot of times where you're paying him for what he did 5 years ago. And also the players want to achieve and really dissuade owners from tanking and not trying. One player used the example of the Detroit Tigers the last, 5 or 6 years. They've been a 100-loss team, and they just rewarded their GM with a contract extension. So why are they awarding their GM a contract extension if they've lost 100 games over the last 5 or 6 years?
So basically, Dave, that is the majority of what the players want?
Yes, that's what the union wants. That's what a lot of them want.
Okay, so nothing will really happen until this thing gets hammered out, right? We're not going to see guys getting signed and things like that.
That's not true, Fred. We already saw Andrew Haney get signed by the Dodgers. So, yeah, there are a group of players that may sign before December 1st. And there may be trades,
Fred?
Before December 1st. Andrew Haney, that is likely to be official today, Fred, and that would count as a signing.
Yeah, Fred.
But
you just said a lot more happens after December 1st.
It's kind of like the trivia game,
nothing happens, Fred.
Just drowning people out.
No, what I'm saying is the big name guys. That's really what I meant. And
Would you consider Kenley Jansen a big name guy?
Yeah, I would consider him, but I don't consider him.
There's a very good chance he might sign before December 1st.
Okay, with who?
Well, he's still sorting that out.
Well, obviously, for you to say something like that, you know something.
I know that there's a lot of interest in him, and there's a group of players, and Kenley may be one of them that may sign before December 1st.
And
I don't think Andrew Haney making $8 million is a small deal. I think that's a significant deal. But guys like Seager and Correa,
right,
Fred, they likely will sign after the collective bargaining agreement is all done and completed.
All right, well, talking about Seager, Andrew Friedman told John Heyman, or John Heyman reported, yeah, we want to hold on to this guy. And, we're going to give it our best shot. What do you think the possibility, as we sit here today, of them holding on to him is?
I would say it's a good possibility, Fred. The Dodgers want to keep Seager, and Seager wants to stay with the Dodgers, but his agent is Scott Boras. I remember back in 2004, Adrian Beltre wanted to stay with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers wanted to keep him, but he was steered to Seattle, and Scott had no place for J.D. Drew, so he played the musical chairs and got J.D. Drew to the Dodgers and sent Adrian Beltre to Seattle. So Seager has to take control of this himself. If, in fact, he wants to stay with the Dodgers, he has to be the one that drives it. don't allow Scott Boras to tell you where to play. Because as I have seen from guys like Carl Crawford and others, you chase the money and all of a sudden you're not happy where you're playing and it becomes a disaster. So it's one thing to get the money and then demand a trade after that, but that's never a great reflection on you.
Just curious, Dave, how many of Scott Boras' clients have actually, you know, taken control like that? Because like you said, he has such an influence, not over the game because he has so many and he's so powerful, but his clients as well because of his history and his track record of getting the most for it. And you mentioned players that regret it. You know, I think about Robinson Cano leaving the Yankees. You know, you leave in a market like that doing well to chase the money, and then you see where his career went. And how much do you think Corey Seager is going to sit back and go, listen, I just want to play in L.A., give me the most you can for L.A.?
Well, number one, two guys come to mind that steered Scott Boras to where they wanted to play instead of going somewhere else, and that was Xander Bogaerts, who signed an extension with the Red Sox through 2025 a couple of years ago. He did not go the route that Scott would like his clients to go, and that's free agency. He wanted to stay in Boston and signed a six-year, $120 million extension. And the other guy that comes to mind is Jared Weaver with the Angels. Scott Boras wanted him to go to free agency, and Weaver said, no, I went to Long Beach State. I love pitching for the Angels. Make an extension happen with the Angels. So those are two guys that have come to mind that reminded Scott Boras, you work for me. I don't work for you.
Okay, well, Clayton Kershaw is not represented by Boras. And no. Andrew Friedman has said, yeah, we'd like to try to work out a deal. What's the realistic possibility of that?
Well, number one, yes, I think it's a very realistic possibility, and it won't come down to money. If Kershaw decides not to re-sign with the Dodgers, it will come down to his family and where him and Ellen want to raise their family. Is it in the state of Texas and Dallas with the Rangers that are not going to win? I firmly believe Clayton Kershaw will remain a Dodger. I think they're just letting this all play out and see where his arm's at and see what they want to do moving forward. By the way, I have no hesitation that he will be coming back. I really believe he'll be back.
Yeah, we hope so. And incentive laced it, so
right.
You know, he's got a smaller base, but he can make it up, and if he performs, hopefully that can work out. Going back to Seager, we kicked this around the other day too. That you know, yes, they've got Trey Turner here locked up for another year, but don't you got to look at it like so we don't sign Corey Seager and we're gonna do Trey Turner, but you're gonna have to go turn around in a year and probably have to pay him around the same number, right?
No. If you re-sign Seager, I would say
if you don't.
I don't think that's a foregone conclusion either. Let's see what Trey Turner does in the playoffs. He hasn't shown much, and it's not about the regular season for the Dodgers. Let's see what he could do in October, because he hasn't shown much in his career with the Nationals and this past year with the Dodgers that he's an October performer. So I don't think that's a foregone conclusion either.
But if they sign Seager, they trade Turner?
No, they could have them both on the team, especially if there's a DH.
Yeah, that's a valid point, if there is a DH. What about Dave Roberts? Andrew Friedman said, basically, we'll get to it. We've got other things to worry about. Any problems there at all?
No, I think Andrew has his hands full, not only trying to retain the free agents that he wants to retain and try to work some trades. And also, you know, every offseason teams come calling for his staff and people behind the scenes that fans don't know about. And he has to reassess the infrastructure of the minor league system, the farm director, all that stuff. So he's got a lot more on his plate that needs immediate attention. Dave Roberts is under contract for next year. He's not going anywhere, and they have both said that they want to continue this marriage, so it's just a matter of when, not if.
Hey, Dave, you know, a lot of talk about Seager and about Trey Turner and the guys that are free. What about Gavin Lux, and where do you think he fits in long-term for the Dodgers, given, you know, the experiment of him in the outfield, some of the things that he's gone through, you know, infield, outfield, some struggles with fielding and his arm throwing. Where do you see him long-term with the Dodgers, or is he a guy that they would say, you know, he's available?
I would say if the Dodgers want to land – one of the prime pitchers from the Reds, Luis Castillo, is a name that comes to mind. If the Dodgers want to make a deal with the A's for Sean Manaea or Chris Bassitt, Gavin Lux is going to have to be part of a trade that would bring one of those frontline starters, because both the A's and the Reds are in need of a shortstop and also are cutting payroll. And Gavin Lux, under team control for another 4 or 5 years, would fit and check all those boxes. So if the Dodgers pursue one of these top-line starters from Oakland or Cincinnati who needs a shortstop, I would imagine Gavin Lux would have to be part of that trade.
Dave, Justin Verlander, I think, had a workout. Do you know if the Dodgers were there?
I'm sure they had somebody there, Fred, but let's see how many guys from the 2017 World Series are here. Can you bring in Justin Verlander into that clubhouse? I mean, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way with what he knew and what he didn't say and just how flippant he was after the Astros were exposed for cheating during that season. So I'm not sure that's the right fit here.
Does that affect...
Might be for the Angels.
Yeah. Not the Dodgers, but how much do you think that affects Carlos Correa as he goes out and tries to break the bank?
I don't believe it would. The teams that I know that are interested in Correa, I think everybody has basically understood that he's a really good player with or without knowing what's coming. He proved that the last couple of years. And the teams that more than likely are going to be after Correa, in my estimation, are the Texas Rangers, the Boston Red Sox, and also the Detroit Tigers. His former manager, A.J. Hinch, is now the manager of the Tigers. His former bench coach is now the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora.
Dave, where are we with Chris Taylor? Do you think he resigns?
I would say right now, Fred, speaking to people that are close to the Taylor camp, they have not ruled out accepting the $18.4 million qualifying offer. I'm sure they're scouring to see whether or not Chris Taylor has the market they imagined he would have before the season ended. And if for some reason he does accept the qualifying offer from the Dodgers, that means that 4 years and $60 million was not out there for him. So he's going to try it again next year when the shortstop market is not as deep as it is right now. And anybody that puts him in that bucket doesn't know what they're talking about, but he is a really good defensive shortstop. I do imagine that the market is going to be out there for Chris Taylor to get upwards of $50 million for 4 years at the very least, but we'll see what happens. They have not ruled out accepting the qualifying offer yet.
Okay, one more. The report about the Japanese...
Isn't the show
star.
Over yet?
No. People want the Dodgers, Dave. They want Dodger stuff.
Okay.
Saya Suzuki, the player from Japan, the Toyo Carp. What do you know about him?
A lot of interest, Fred. A lot of interest. And I would say the Dodgers have always had a big Pacific Rim presence, always have scouts going out there to see the best Japanese players and pitchers, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're in on that pitcher, for sure. And I know other teams are as well.
And is he's available this year?
Yes, he could be posted this year.
Okay, so if the Dodgers go out and sign him, then they've got to make a move with somebody else, right?
Not really. They need pitching depth, Fred. So I feel
No, this is the outfielder, Dave.
Yeah, and they need pitching depth, and they also need bench depth. We saw both at the end of last year be very thin. So yeah. I would say I wouldn't rule out, you know, adding a player like that to the roster if they feel like he can contribute. I mean, They were after Ohtani. We know he's a special guy. They were interested in Yoshi Tsutsuko. They fixed him, and for whatever reason, after they fixed him, they let him walk away and do damage with the Pirates. I mean, at the end of the season, don't you think the Dodgers could have used a Yoshi Tsutsuko off the bench, especially with the injury to Max Muncy? That was one of the miscalculations that have been overlooked as you reassess the season.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you.
Did you check out what Yoshi did with the Pirates, Fred? Are you even aware Yoshi tore it up with the Pittsburgh Pirates at the end of the year?
Yes, Dave. I watch baseball. I was aware of that. And I know he struggled in Tampa, the Dodgers.
Well, you just dismissed me.
I did not dismiss you. You offered your opinion on Yoshi, and we greatly appreciated that. But now your time is up.
Rodney, I appreciate the time that you have given me, and I guess you got to play another game. What is it this time? Go fish, Fred?
Dave,
fish with your team?
4 minutes ago, you complained about how long you were on. We asked you another question. Mm-hmm. We kept you longer. And then you go, you appreciate the time you were on.
Well, I just would like a little bit more acknowledgement of what I've provided you, Fred, instead of just saying, all right, Fred. Next, coming up next, go fish.
By the way,
do the Raiders and Chargers, go fish.
Fred had no idea Yoshi played for the Pirates.
No idea. Really? Well, I saw him play for the Pirates at Dodger Stadium.
The beautiful Rochelle Rogan knows that, but not Fred.
I saw him play for the Pirates at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I did know that, Dave. Thank you for pointing that out.
You should do some more homework with your wife. She knows what she's more plugged in than you are, Fred.
No, she is plugged in, Dave. I can't deny that. All right. Goodbye, Dave.
Okay, guys. See you later.
Okay, Dodger fans, what do you think about Clayton Kershaw? Do you want him back? And really, Dave says it's not going to come down to money, but it kind of always does. Do you want to see Kershaw on the rotation? Or will you thank him for his years of service and be okay if he pitches for another team to wrap up his career? We'll take your calls at 866-987-2570. Plus, Rodney, we have to get into this Alex Caruso story.
Now, your chance to put $1,000 in your pocket. Text the nationwide keyword PAY to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's PAY to 200-200. Good luck.
That's right. We absolutely are the home of the Dodgers. We're also home of the Dean, my man, Fred Rogan, on AM 570 LA Sports. What's up, Dino?
That's very kind of you to say, Roger. Thank you.
You got it.
You know what I think is sad?
What's that?
They took on the Dean off the board.
No.
Yep.
Kevin!
Kevin just left.
Oh, Ronnie, were you a part of that?
I'm the Dean.
I was unaware that happened.
Yeah,
that's a travesty.
Here. I mean, we have this.
Probably a loser.
I'm the Dean. Is not Jeannie. On the board.
We love Jeannie. Got to keep Jeannie.
Wait, what happened?
I'm the Dean. Is not on the board.
Oh, what a travesty!
And Fred's blaming you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
Typical.
Yeah. Well, I think we should add that one back.
Well, now that I call it out on the air, it might take a little bit longer for it to find itself on the board.
That's all right. You know what? Don't even worry about it.
Oops, it accidentally got deleted, Fred.
I'm only here for one reason.
Yeah, I just came here to hit dingers and have a good time.
That's all I want to do, hit some dingers. All right, Dodger fans, what do you think? Clayton Kershaw, do you want him back on the team? And, or do you want him back? Or would you be okay if you saw him pitching for another team? We'll open
like
the phone
Giants.
Line. Another team.
Ooh.
It won't be the Giants, no. All right. Joseph in L.A. Go ahead, Joseph.
No, I'm okay with him leaving. I think it's time. The reality of the situation is that the injuries. So I'm okay with him leaving. Going with another team, though, I wouldn't be okay with it. I think he was just I would like for him to retire.
Okay.
I think that's the best scenario.
Well, that's great. Of course, the problem, Joseph, is he will have to make that decision. So you don't want to see him pitch for another team, but you're okay if he leaves?
Yes.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Joseph. Thanks for listening to the show. Angel and Downey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to leave, you know, at this stage in his career. Where's he going to go? He obviously, I think, wants to win another World Series. He's not going to do that with the Angels. He's not going to do that with the Rangers. there's only three or four teams that are going to have an opportunity to do that. First and foremost, is he healthy? And then, like you said, Fred, a few minutes ago, money, right? But I don't think with Kershaw, the money is the priority. I think he's a Dodger through and through. I think he'll come back probably 2 years. One will be probably a team option. And, you know, he's got a lot of miles on that arm, and he's had a lot of injuries the last two or three years. So the reality is he's not a number one or two anymore, not on our staff. He's probably three, even a four. You know, if Dustin May were healthy, that's just the reality. But, yeah, he's going to remain a Dodger.
All right, appreciate it, Angel. Thanks for listening to the show.
It's interesting that people, you know, they're okay with him not being a Dodger or leaving, but not don't want him to pitch for another team.
Yeah, you can't have it both.
I heard that a lot, you know, of that. But why did you say absolutely not the Giants? You don't think that because the Giants wouldn't do it, or because Clayton Kershaw would never pitch for the Giants?
Oh, because
what are you saying?
I'm saying he wants to stay closer to home. I think if he's going to play in the West, well, because that's by all accounts. Even David Giants, said
what if Farhan? What if Farhan says, "Here you go, give us 2 years, baby. We're going to pay you
and $70 million." 35 a year?
Not to be 70, but it could be something attractive. Could be something much better than the Dodgers can offer him. Why are you saying he won't necessarily do that?
I could never see him pitching loyal? For the Dodgers.
Why?
I mean, for the Giants.
Why?
What if
the money was too good? What if it was the right situation for him?
I don't know.
We want you to be our third guy and come up here. We'll give you, you know, 2 years, $40 million.
Yeah. I don't see that.
No?
I don't see it.
You don't see that because
I don't see Farhan offering that.
If he did.
Well, I don't know if he did. I'm just saying I don't see him offering it, and I don't see Kershaw accepting it.
Why? Why wouldn't Kershaw accept it?
I don't think he would ever play for the Giants.
Why?
Because I just think he's the one thing.
There's loyalty in sports. Is that why you're saying, Fred? I'm just not going to go to the rivalry team because I'm so loyal.
I can't
see
it.
That's it?
Yeah. I just can't see him pitching for the Giants. I could see him pitching for the Texas Rangers, but I could not see him pitching for the Giants. All right, Solomon, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, guys, here's the thing. I don't mean to be cold about it, but let's not get too emotional about Clayton Kershaw. You don't make an emotional decision. The guy's at the end of his career. He's injury prone. He's simply not dependable any longer. So with all those things to consider, just be careful if you do bring him back. I'm not saying I don't want him, but it's got to be the right circumstances. I just don't want to see the Dodgers screw themselves because they get a little too emotional about trying to keep Clayton Kershaw as a Dodger.
Appreciate it, Solomon. Thank you. Really, that's the issue here. I mean, there's a point in time. Colin always says this. Don't fall in love with players. Fall in like. You have to understand it's a business, and you don't want to get too emotional. And I would agree with that because oftentimes you make decisions that ultimately come back to bite you. All right, Rodney, let's get into Alex Caruso. Yesterday we talked about the fact that, the Lakers right now could be using his defense. Oh, by the way, the Lakers play Miami tonight. Lakers could be using Alex Caruso's defense. They are missing it, and they are missing it dramatically. And we had read some stuff, and we talked to people, and, the Lakers really never came through with an offer that he thought was worthy. Well, they really didn't. And Alex Caruso himself is saying that. You know, you're trying to figure out how much money did they offer him. Well, we know he went to Chicago and he got paid. But what did the Lakers offer this guy that had been with them, that they basically developed, and had really turned into a very good guard? Well, he was on the Old Man and Three podcast and he talked about it.
So there was talk with a bunch of different people about the mid-level, which I think was 4 for $40. We never got, you know, anybody to that actual number, but there was a couple teams that got close. And then my agent texted me and said, "Hey, Chicago's interested in signing you." I didn't know that financially it was going to be able to work. So I thought once Zoe signed with Chicago, I was like, okay, well, Chicago's off the list. Like, we're going to look at this, that, and the other and try and make it work. I got on the phone with AK and with Billy, and the way they were just talking about how they wanted to play, you know, how they saw me as a player, I thought they, you know, hit the nail on the head. I thought everything they said, I was like, I think that's accurate. I think that's what I bring to the table. I think that's how I can help the team win. got that offer, went back to LA, asked if they could do the same, said no, asked for something else that was a little less, said no, and said, okay, well, if that's what it comes to, I'm ready to go to Chicago and, you know, start the next chapter. And
so that was basically it. And what they offered him apparently was less than 2 years and $15 million. That's what the Lakers
got. Apparently, or is that what they offered him?
Well, that's what it's reported they offered him. So that's what we're going to go with. So that's what they said. And it really wasn't much of an offer. If you just take it from what he said and what we've read, that he was not going to fit into the Laker plans. They were just going to go in a different direction. They did sign Talen Horton Tucker. And right now, if they need a trade chip later in the season, once Talen is healthy, he's young enough and he's got a deal that will probably bring them some help. But just hearing him, the Lakers really, I think they were done with him, Rodney.
For the right price. We still don't know for sure what the Lakers actually offered him. He said they didn't come, you know, they didn't come in the ballpark of what Chicago was offered him. So, yeah, we get that part of it. But we don't know definitely what the Lakers actually offered him and what that deal was on the table. But, yeah, if they really wanted him, they would have kept him. And then they would have paid for it. But I think the Lakers went in and they were willing to let him go at a certain price point. Now, the specifics of that price point, you know, it's been reported. They said this, but it's not been, you know, This is what we actually, we haven't heard it from the Lakers. If that's, this is what we offered Alex Caruso and he turned us down. But they clearly were not willing to at least match or even overpay for what they thought was a guy that they could probably replace.
Well, he would have stayed for less. We know that because he just said it. He would have stayed for less, but he didn't even get anything that he considered to be, or his agent, in the ballpark. Do you think the Lakers regret not signing him now?
No. No, we're still early in the season. No, I don't think that they regret that. I think they're waiting to see if, you know, when they get all their pieces back healthy and see how that shapes up. I don't think you can make a clear decision on, oh, God, we regret that, when you're only 12, 13 games into a season.
I think we'll have time for it. There was an incident.
Oh, no.
In a game.
Oh, no.
That was captured on tape.
Are you the one talking about the one I think you're talking about?
The youth game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we're going to talk about.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports. This brand new Billy ain't got no pay.
That's right. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan on a hump day. Let's keep it moving, Fred. Come on. All right, Rodney, an incident over the weekend we should touch on. You know, club basketball, travel basketball, there are games every weekend, all year long throughout Southern California. They play at the American Sports Center, which I think was sold. They play at the Met.
Down in Orange County?
Yeah.
That one, yeah, I think it did get sold.
I think it got sold. Yeah, but they play at the Map. In Garden Grove. They play at the Mamba Center out in Thousand Oaks. But there was a game at the Map. It was a girls' game, 14-year-olds. And club basketball, if you've not been involved in it, is competitive. I will say that when you're playing...
To say the least.
Yeah, when you're playing club basketball, it's competitive. If you're in a youth league, it's different. Club basketball, these girls can play a little bit, and the boys can play a little bit. And, you know, a lot of them are playing there. And it could be a chance for colleges. A lot of colleges go to these tournaments all the time, and that's how kids are given scholarships. It's not how you play in high school. It's how you play in these year-round tournaments. Anyway, two games. In one of the game, 14-year-old girls, one team up by a good amount of points. It's in the second half. And one of the girls from one team, I know one was the Dream Academy. I think this is the girl that threw the punch.
From the Dream Academy?
I think so. There were two teams playing. And anyway, what happened was one girl ran up next to another girl as she was running down the court. So the ball wasn't there. Neither one were in play. It was transition from offense to defense. And the one girl came up and punched her right in the side of the face. It actually looked like hit her in the throat. And she went down. I mean, down immediately and suffered a concussion. Now, what prompted this? I posted it on Twitter, and you can check out what happened. And Channel 4 did a story on it last night, and that's really how I found out about it. Vicky Vargas down in Orange County did a great job on the piece.
Yeah. We love Vicky Vargas. He does good stuff.
Yeah. Friend for a lot of
years. Yeah, I saw that, Fred. And then Holly posted it to me, too. It's just and I believe the girl was kicked out of the tournament. And
yeah, she was out.
Banned for a minute. But I looked at the pre, you know, kind of what led up to it a little bit, and I didn't see, you know, the minutes or, you know, the time before or whatever happened before, but just in the sequence that happened before that, it didn't look all too much like anything bad or anything that would warrant this girl doing this to the other girl on the other team. And by the way, the girl that threw the punch outweighed the girl by 100 pounds.
Yeah.
It looked like he was very, very big. And then, like you said, the girl went down, had a concussion. It was ugly. It was ugly, ugly scene. And we've seen a lot of those, you know, like you said, and those tournaments get very intense. And a lot of times it's, you know, parents get involved and get in arguments and get in fights and stuff like that. So it's got to be a better way to control your temper in situations like that. But that was ugly, ugly scene.
Yeah, the girl that went down, her mom said, we want to file assault charges. Because that was, I mean, really an assault. Now, they're minors, 14-year-old kids. The girl that threw the punch has lawyered up, and her attorney said, we're going to look into all of this. You know,
the girl that threw the punch said, we're going to look into all of this.
Yeah, the attorney said, we're going to look into all of this.
Now, was there anything else that we missed on the video that was shown that warranted it? Because that was not something that the girl did come back and retaliate. It wasn't Morris hitting the Joker and the Joker retaliating, anything like that. I don't know. Like, Kevin, do you know if there's anything else that led up to that?
Nope. Other than maybe thinking you had contact when she shot a three-pointer in her face. But other than that, no.
I know that yesterday, and I didn't see it on the
violent reaction.
Very violent.
The video I posted, I didn't see it, and it wasn't in the report. But I know yesterday it was reported that the mother of the girl who threw the punch was overheard saying by someone in the crowd, and this individual did report it, that the mother said, you better hit her. Go hit her. Now, we reported that yesterday, that someone in the crowd heard the mother of the girl who threw the punch say, you go hit her. I don't know. I mean, we reported that yesterday. The mom who, or the person in the crowd who allegedly overheard it, I don't know who that was, but I know we reported that.
Wow. Seen out of the Great Santini with Robert Duvall. I don't know if you saw that movie.
Yeah.
Where he told his son, he came out of the stands and told his son, you better take him out. Take him out, or you're not coming home.
Right. Yeah, well,
great
that's...
movie.
Yeah,
great
well,
movie.
Maybe she was channeling Robert Duvall.
Maybe.
If in fact she said that.
Maybe.
But, you know, it's ugly, and then it really comes to this. First, they want to file assault charges. These kids are minors. One girl was seriously hurt that was hit, blindsided by the punch. And you say, well, everybody deserves a second chance. I got all that. But for that girl that threw the punch, should she be allowed to play? I mean, she's only 14, and people make mistakes. But should she still be allowed to play on a team?
Play on what?
A basketball
tournament
team.
For sure. Tournament for sure. On a basketball team?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you going to ban her for life for that, Fred?
No, I'm asking. That's why I'm asking. Everybody
does. You're asking like you think that should be a question where they ban her for... She should ever be able to allowed to play on the basketball team.
Well, what I'm saying is there has to be some sort of...
Well, they suspended her. Or I don't know if the team did.
No, they just threw her out of the tournament for that day.
Threw out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, wanting to see what the coach does of that team. Does he suspend her for a number of games? But to say that she can't ever play again or kick, no, that's harsh.
Especially if her mother actually told her to do it. Because I don't know what the relationship is with her mother and her, and if she said, well, I don't listen to her, who knows what will happen? That's another layer if that part of the story is actually true, Fred, and she told her to do it. You know, that adds another layer to it.
Yeah. So the police are going to have to sort this out.
Oh, yeah, because that's assault.
Yeah, so. And they're working on it.